Better and Longer with the Fitness Show, hosted by fitness expert, author, and TV personality, Fitz Kohler. She'll tell you why diets are dumb, supplements are snake oil, and the truth about how you can earn a lean, hard, pain-free, and athletic body. Now for our favorite bossy blonde, Fitz Kohler.
Hi team, I'm Fitz Kohler, your fitness expert and very noisy race announcer from fitness.com. And welcome to the Fitness Show. I want to start by thanking you all for the extraordinary welcome back to official podcasting. Last week's episode was huge. And here's the funny thing. I did not know that even during my hiatus, the Fitness Show is in the top 5% of podcasts worldwide. So even when I wasn't producing new content, apparently y'all were listening and apparently re-listening, which I appreciate so much. So I'm excited about bringing new content to you. Oh, and I was barked at by a podcast expert. I'm supposed to tell you to like the podcast and subscribe to the podcast. And if you can give stars, do that. I hope 5 versus 1, but whatever, you're in charge of you, right? All right. So we are going to talk about you today and why you should do things you're really bad at. Now, I know that sounds contradictory to what most people would tell you, but I think the only way to not be stale, to live outside of Rutville, is to pursue new things. And ideally, pursue new things where you have no clue what's going on, but you figure it out. There's so many benefits that come along with that. So I would like to backtrack. When I was a kickboxer, so if you don't know, I competitively kickboxed. I did full contact kickboxing for 10 years, which was one of the most extraordinarily fun things I've ever done in my life. And the pleasure of kicking people in the head, just exhilarating. So anywho, besides fighting, I decided that I would like to make this sport available to the community of people who just wanted to be fit. And so my trainer and I created a course, Kickboxing for Fitness, and it allowed people to train almost exactly like a real kickboxer would train with equipment without getting hit or hurt. And the program was a massive success. And we had thousands of people come in. Each class was sold out. And I was very proud. It was a lot of fun. But what I found in the great majority of newcomers is they would show up. We teach them how to wrap their hands. Again, something new. And they were excited to wrap their hands. And then I would start the class and I would teach fighting stance, you know, where to put your feet, hands up, elbows in, chin down. I would start with a jab and a cross, simple punches. And right from the get-go, people would instantly have shame. They would tell me, oh, I'm sorry. I'm no good at this. Sorry, I'm so bad. And I would laugh and say, well, why the hell would you be good at this? What in your life would have brought you to a point where you're really good at a jab or a cross? That's not something moms teach their kids or dads or grandparents. We don't learn that in fourth grade. And so always trying to convince people it's okay to be bad right now. This is the fun part. You're being exposed to a new challenge. This is a new opportunity. Everything here is something you haven't done before. And hopefully that's fun to you. Hopefully that stimulates your brain and it's makes you laugh, right? It's nice to be awkward in those moments. And inevitably, those people would start getting better and better, and their pride would grow and their confidence would grow. And of course, their bodies would become healthier. But it's an interesting phenomenon where people expect themselves to be great at everything. You know, when we were kids, we did so much learning. You know, we would show up to school or to our clubs or activities, and we were always faced with a new challenge. Maybe it was a new sport at PE or a new challenge in math or history. And we were constantly in a state of being thrown back on our heels, having to figure it out and then make progress. And that was normal to us. Kids don't seem to fear new things on a daily basis as much as grownups do. But it's so good for us, that process of stepping into things we don't know and then becoming better for it. That's what we want for our kids, right? If you're a parent out there, or a grandparent, or you just know a kid, you hope that they get better at some point. You hope that they evolve, their information expands, and their perspective grows as well. You can only really do that by diving into things that you're bad at. And boy, have I done a bunch of that lately. Just briefly, a couple of months ago, I had been thinking about, I have one of my children, I signed them up to take lessons with an instrument. And I started thinking back in the days when I was a kid, I was about 5 or 6, and I really wanted to play guitar. And so I asked my mom for a guitar, and I think it was a Christmas present. She got me a cute little guitar, but she never got me the lessons to go along with it. I just had this guitar, and, you know, of course I fiddled with the tuning apparatus and I strummed it horribly. And then I gave up because I didn't know how to do it. And eventually I broke the strings, and that was that. But so as I signed my child up for a lesson, I thought, you know what? I could do that. I've been wanting to do that my whole life. Why not give it a go? So I got online. I said, hey, can anyone recommend an instructor? And I found one who's phenomenal. He's very accomplished. He's got a stacked resume. He is an expert guitar player, but more importantly, he's a really good instructor. And even when I just wanted to work with him and learn from him, he threw in the wrench that, hey, we're going to do online learning. I don't meet with my clients in person. And I thought, I don't want to do that. I want to get out. I want to go play guitar elsewhere. But then I thought, nah, you know what? I'm going to give this thing a chance. It was uncomfortable for me to do an online lesson. I said, well, we'll do one lesson. I'll pay for that one lesson. If I hate it, I won't come back. If I love it, I'll buy a package. And I did. I loved it. But when I started, yikes. There was a lot of obstacles there. I put this thing and it feels uncomfortable. I'm a small person. It's a size instrument. And he loaned me his. I didn't even buy one yet. I'm just still borrowing his. I'm going to buy one at some point soon. But I wanted to make sure I liked it before I invested in a full-blown guitar. But that first day, I felt like my hands were definitely not going to work the right way. Boy, to put your fingers in those positions, super awkward. I thought maybe my hand doesn't want to do this thing. Maybe my hand will never do this. And then touching the strings is actually really painful the first time you do it. I started thinking, well, if I do this, maybe I have to get a bunch of little thimbles. I was trying to think of ways to cheat the situation so it wouldn't hurt so bad. And in my mind, I kept thinking, oi, perhaps this is not for me. And then thankfully, Fitz Kohler would jump in there and say, no, stick with it. You can do it. All these other people learn how to play guitar. You can do it too. Just stay the course. This is the fun part, is getting past the hurdles and the discomfort. And I've maybe had 5 lessons so far, maybe 6, and it's been 6 weeks, and I practice almost every day. If I'm in Gainesville, I've got my guitar in hand. And what I've decided is there's this theory that if you practice 18 minutes a day for an entire year, you will at the end of the year, you will be better at that thing than 95% of the people on earth. And I just decided, okay, I'm willing to live up to that. I will practice the equivalent of at least 18 minutes a day for an entire year. And I'm really excited to see where it goes. Now, if you came and listened to me, you might not be impressed. I am very impressed with me. The things that I can do now are way better than the things I could do 6 weeks ago. I can actually play some riffs that are identifiable. And, you know, am I close to Prince? I am not. But you know, Prince was really good at guitar. If he was really good at kickboxing or underwater basket weaving or paddleboarding, you know, Prince had another place where he could develop. So I'm going to try to be more like Prince when it comes to the guitar, not maybe Hendrix, who knows, but I'm going to try to do better. And this process of struggling has been really, really rewarding. I've also got myself into a Dancing with the Stars competition. That's right. Not the one on ABC television, but I was asked, well, I'll backtrack a little bit more. Is I ran Boston Marathon in 21. I was invited to do that. So I had just finished chemo, and I was maybe a year out of chemo when someone called, Vince Varala from the Boston Buddies. He said, hey, Fitz, we have a bib for the Boston Marathon and we would like you to run it for charity. And I thought, rah, you jerk. Why are you offering me this awesome opportunity? I mean, the fact of the matter is I had run tons of half marathons previously and tons of obstacle course races and all sorts of different events, triathlons. But I had never crossed the finish line of a half marathon and thought, gee whiz, I would like to do that again instantly, right now. So I asked him for 24 hours, and then I thought, well, why the hell not? I mean, I see wonderful people do it all the time, cross the finish lines. I'm announcing. I see very average people finish marathons. I see people that are severely limited with zero legs. I see morbidly obese people do full marathon. I see elderly people do full marathons. Why not? And the reality is my perspective now is, well, a marathon certainly isn't scary compared to cancer, right? Once I've done cancer, nothing else personally will be as scary to me, which makes me say, okay, give it a shot. So I crossed the finish line of Boston. I had a blast. It was a fun day. We probably had more fun than any runner should have on a course. And when I was done, immediately people started saying, well, are you going to run it again next year? Or are you going to run New York or Chicago? And perhaps maybe. But what I thought is, gee, I'd like to be challenged in a different way. And the thing that came into the back of my head, I just thought, I would like to do a dancing challenge. I have no idea why I thought that. I guess I just thought it would be fun. I have no dance history, no formal dance training. As a kid, I never did ballet, tap, jazz, any of that stuff. I've never really done ballroom dancing. I've never done any sort of formal dancing. Now, I did teach hip hop as a fitness instructor in college and some other dancey type workouts, but nothing where you point your toe and you turn your hip and you do it really well. So last year, randomly, I got a call from Dance Alive National Ballet, which is a big deal national ballet studio, and those professional dancers perform all around the world. They said, hey, we're doing a fundraiser to build a new building, and we're having a Dancing with the Stars competition. Again, it's something they've been doing annually. Would you compete? Instantly, I thought, absolutely, I'd love to do that. And then they said, okay, it's April 4th or whatever. And I thought, rats, I have to announce Coast Guard Marathon that weekend. I'm not going to be able to do it. So I wasn't able to do it in 23. A couple of months ago, the call came back in. Hey, Fitz, we're doing Dancing with the Stars. March 30th, 2024, are you available? And I looked at my calendar and it's clear. So I said, yes. Now, I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Quite a few people have asked, are you nervous? Are you afraid? I mean, you've never done that before. And I think, well, I'm really excited to branch out and do something I've never done before. And really what I think is, what's the worst that can happen? What is the worst that can happen? And I'm talking about on event night. I believe there's normally between 600 and 1,000 people live audience at the fundraising gala. And you can come if you want to buy it and you want to watch me dance live. You can come to Gainesville and see me. But what's the worst that could happen? I forget a move and I have to catch back up. I fall. I'm okay falling in front of people. I've done it before. Nothing about this experience scares me. And that doesn't mean I'm good at it. I have rhythm and I can learn, but there's nothing that says I'm going to show up and win, right? I'm going to try just as hard as my competitors and we will see how things pan out. But can you imagine if I rejected this opportunity because I'm not already a good dancer? Imagine I would miss out on, at least 8 fun dancing rehearsals with a professional dancer. I would miss out on whatever cute costume they're going to make for me. I would miss out on this opportunity to dance with a pro at a fundraising gala and raise hopefully thousands of dollars to support a really good nonprofit organization. So where so many people have asked, how are you doing that? You're not a dancer. Aren't you afraid? All I think about is the good side of things. So what I want you to do as we chat is think about in your head the things that you've been wanting to do, maybe your whole life, something maybe you wanted to do at 13 or 3 or 20, whatever it is. And what's the worst that can happen if you start giving it a try? I want you to come up with something by the end of this podcast that you're going to commit to giving a go, whether it's small or a big deal, something new for you. But here's the good reasons. I made actually a list because I'm an organized presenter. If you did not know that, come to one of my keynotes. But I've made a list of reasons you should try things you're bad at. So first of all, it actually increases your confidence. So it sounds contrary that maybe doing something you're bad at might decrease your confidence, but there's going to be a learning curve. And so accomplishing new things, even if they're very small baby step wins, will increase your overall confidence. You should see me strutting around my house now that I know how to play Rock Lobster, the start of Rock Lobster on the guitar. I'm pretty darn confident. You know, just knowing something bettering yourself makes you more confident overall. And those new skills will transfer into other places of your life, your professional workplace, your personal relationships. So increase confidence. The more you know, the more you can do, the better you're going to feel about you. Number two, expanded knowledge. Yeah, so learning more is better. Yeah, I think it is. When I was in college, I worked on a cruise ship. I was a fitness director aboard the Crystal Harmony, and we sailed from New York to France and then every single country in Scandinavia and Russia and Estonia. And it was fabulous. I spent a couple of months at sea, and every time I showed up at a country, I learned how to say hello, excuse me, how much, please, thank you, where's the bathroom, I love you. I learned about their money, and I would absorb their culture and, you know, just grab all this knowledge. I'd take little tours. And then I showed up one day at home. I was watching Jeopardy, which is a pretty tough show. That's not like Wheel of Fortune, right? Or Family Feud. And I knew so many of the answers because I had gone and done some things. Now, when I showed up in Sweden, did I know how to speak Swedish? I did not. But I would learn at least these 10 words, and I would investigate all the places I was. And now I'm just a brighter, more interesting, intelligent person because I showed up and I committed. I didn't just show up to Denmark and say, well, I'm going to talk the way I talk, too bad for them. I learned, and learning makes you better. So it's always better to know more. Trust me. Okay. Increased creativity. Your learning experiences in one aspect of your life will definitely translate to other experiences. I truly believe that my dancing is going to enhance my guitar playing. My kickboxing experience is definitely going to make me a better dancer for sure. So, you know, everything you learn expands your horizon and, of course, allows you to boost your creativity, gives you new ideas for the next thing. It makes you more adaptable. And I think it's very important to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. If you walk around in your little bubble of security and you never step outside the lines and you never have to face adversity, well, when adversity comes, you're not going to do very well. And it's when I failed as a kid, and boy, did I fail. I got cut from sports teams. I ran for office and I didn't get elected. And said teachers were mean to me sometimes, like everybody. And I'd come home sad and my mom would say, this is building character. It's building character. And I would say, God, I've got enough character. I don't need any more character. But she was right. And all of those little failures that felt like big failures at the time have set me up for so much greatness, so much ability to overcome nonsense, BS, whether it's professional or personal, health related. These failures lead to resiliency. So adaptability, I think it's important to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And if you do something that scares you a little bit, if it's not going to lead to bleeding, bruising, or broken bones, you should go do it. You hear that? If it's not going to lead to bleeding, bruising, or broken bones, you should do that. And that means asking for the job, asking for the raise, asking for the sale, asking someone to marry you, whatever it is. If it's uncomfortable, you should probably do it anyways. That's my rule of thumb. Okay. Next is trying new things increases your brain health. Now, I work on that religiously. Cancer's left me dinged up. I've got some scars and, you know, minor issues, but I really feel like a super strong, healthy person with that dinged up. The greatest obstacle I've faced since finishing treatment, it's chemo brain. It affected my short-term memory. Thank God I am highly functional when it comes to work, but in my personal life, I dropped some balls. It's hard to remember what day it is sometimes. There's definitely some issues that I deal with. So I work on my brain health, and I want you to know that you can increase your brain health. And I do that by, I started this Wordscapes, word cross thing, puzzle or app on my phone. I've been doing it probably every single day for 4 years since I was in treatment because I thought, okay, I'm going to train my brain to be better. But I'm also increasing my brain health when I play guitar. When I think of dancing, the moves don't scare me. The live audience doesn't scare me. You know what concerns me is my ability to remember moves for 4 solid minutes. But I'm not nervous about that. I'm excited because I feel like that is really going to train my brain to be better. So know that if you're knitting and you have to remember the same loop-de-loop, or if you are scuba diving and you have to remember all of these little safety issues so you don't get hurt underwater, that's enhancing your brain health. And that's another great reason to try something new, because it's that learning. Learning matters, and it affects your gray matter. So do it. Now, the other reason to try new things and do things you're bad at is you'll end up with new relationships. I am so grateful right now to know my guitar instructor. He's such a lovely man. Richie is a delight. And throughout our lessons, we'll chat a little bit about this or that. And I feel like it's nice to have this new friend. The other thing is, since I've gone public as a guitar student, so many people that are kind of knows on social media, you know, the people that you're friends with, but you've never met in person, they've reached out and said, oh, I play guitar. And this is a hint or this is a tip. And so I've connected, I've made newer, deeper connections with people that are unexpected for me because they play guitar. And I actually have some good friends who I didn't know play guitar. So I think the new relationships that come out of this stuff, whether you go take a, maybe go to the firing range and you learn how to shoot a rifle or, self-defense class, you're likely to make some friends. I'm dealing with that with my mom now. She's in her 80s and she's kind of lonely. My dad passed away a while ago and say, Mom, go out and take a class. There's a senior center. Go do these things. And she said, well, I've never done that before. Okay, well, in your 80s, it's okay to try something new. And you might make a friend. And so she has. And she took a chair fitness class last week. And she talked to some ladies. And I'm really hopeful for her. So please step out. If you are lonely or you could use an outlet or a new friend, go join a group. In fact, one of my neighbors, she told me about this ladies guitar club in town, and she invited me right as I posted, I was starting my lessons. And I said, well, I need a little time. Let me get my feet underneath me, but I'm going to go. She said, some of the women are experts and then some of them are brand new and everybody's learning and having fun. And I thought, what the heck? If I'm in Gainesville, I could use some nice lady time. So I'm going to go join that guitar club. And I don't know if it's going to be a big part of my life, but it's going to be at least one day of my life. Okay. Improved resiliency. We talked about this. I mean, your failures, overcoming little failures are going to pay off big time in all aspects of your life. Okay. The other reason to do things you're bad at is increased happiness. That's right. A new skill, a new experience, a new distraction in your life. And every time you conquer something new within your new skill, I'm trying to come up, but maybe you're doing karate, right? And the first time you punch someone right in the face, big joy spreads out your heart. And I know I sound like an evildoer, but it's really, really fun to hit people that are agreeing to do this thing together. Maybe they're wearing a headgear or something, but whether you throw your first baseball and someone catches it and you feel rewarded, okay? So new skills lead to big joy and excitement. What in your day is exciting right now? What in your day is exciting? If maybe you draw your first picture, your first really good picture that isn't just a stick picture, because my pictures are all stick men. If I drew something and it looked like a face and I showed someone, I said, who in this? And they said, that is definitely Abraham Lincoln. I would feel great joy, right? I would feel so proud that somebody could identify this artwork as who I intended it to be. So increased joy. Of course, that's a reason to go out and do things you're bad at. One would think being bad at something would make you sad, but totally opposite. It will make you happy. Stress reduction. Oh my. Yeah. Getting out, doing something just for you. How about that? Not your kids, not your partner, not your boss, not your parent, not your best friend. Something just for you. Pick something that matters to you, even though everybody might think it's super weird. Maybe it's a new recipe, or I don't know, you're going to dye your hair a different color. Do something you're bad at and, focus on yourself. The other day I got into it with one of my kids, as that happens, even though I'm great, great kids, but I was irritated. And so what I do, I grabbed my guitar and I went out to my backyard on my swing and I played and I focused on that. And boy, did it help me reduce my stress. It provided a ton of relief. And so perhaps this thing you're bad at will serve as an escape mechanism. And then last but not least, doing things you're bad at will enrich your life overall. And I think we've covered that, but you will be a better person. And You know, am I poking you in the chest? I am. You might be stuck in a rut. I bet 82% of my listeners right now are stuck in a stupid rut. They haven't done anything new for a really long time and they could use it. And so this is my challenge to you, is figure it out. Are you going to go country line dancing? Are you going to show up at 6 p.m. and take the lessons at the bar and then stick around and try to hang and groove with people at 8 till whenever you conk out at night, right? Are you going to learn to play chess? I don't know how to do that. I think that might be fun to give it a try. Are you going to learn how to program the computer or try Photoshop or whatever? Try to make a TikTok. You might be bad at TikToks, but who cares? Maybe you'll come up with something good. So my assignment for you, Fitness Show listeners, is to pick something and then contact me and tell me what it is. So you tell me, Fitz, I am going to learn how to shoot a bow and arrow. And I'm going to make it happen in the next 3 weeks. And then when you've done it, I want you to come back and let me know. So you can contact me. I am at Fitness on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube. You can comment here on the podcast, wherever you're listening. Of course, like and subscribe too, as you know. And then if you go to fitness.com, there's a contact Fitz button on the top. And that's really one of the easiest ways to get to me. But I believe in you. You know, this podcast, my whole business is about getting you to do better, to be better, to live better and longer. And I don't get stuck in a rut, man. Life sucks if it's boring. It just is. It's just not a lot of fun to keep doing the same thing over and over and over. I mean, I could tell you in my running community, which is awesome, the greatest people on earth, so many of them, they'll pick one race series and they do that over and over and over. And great, it's nice to have this group of people you like to do thing in this destination. But all I think sometimes is, boy, are you missing out on these other incredible experiences throughout the world. You know, maybe throughout your state, you don't have to go too far. Maybe your finances aren't great. Go just do something else. And you will expand your horizons and maybe meet new people and have so much more fun, see new things. So don't get stuck. Get loose and make a list of things you are rotten at. You are terrible. You stink. You're the worst. Show up as the worst person and start learning. And then be super proud to dive into the top 95% and then the top 78% and keep on going. So I love you guys. I hope you're eating wisely, using that exact formula for weight loss, exercising often. And my big plea that I'm really passionate about is, if you have a pet, make sure they are spayed or neutered. And if you are looking for one, please rescue or adopt. Really makes a difference. I love you all. I can't wait to hear from you on the thing you're so bad at that you're going to give a try. Get to work, everybody. Bye.
Hi, this is Rudy Novotny, the voice of America's Marathons. We all love how much running has benefited every aspect of our lives, so much so that most of us only wish we'd started sooner. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give the opportunity to children of today? Well, you can. The Morning Mile is a before-school walking and running program that gives children the chance to start each day in an active way while enjoying fun, music, and friends. That's every child, every day. It's also supported by a wonderful system of rewards, which keeps students highly motivated and frequently congratulated. Created by our favorite fitness expert, Fitz Kohler, Morning Milers across the country have run over 2 million miles and are having greater success with academics, behavior, and sports because of it. The Morning Mile is free to the child, free to the school, and is inexpensively funded by businesses or generous individuals. Help more kids get moving in the morning by visiting morningmile.com. Champion the program at your favorite school or find out more about sponsorship opportunities. That's morningmile.com. Long may you run.